And our final case for this morning for oral argument is Campbell against Astru, 10-13-14. Ms. Shelton.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the Court, my name is Catherine Shelton and I represent Curtis Campbell. Mr. Campbell suffers from bipolar disorder along with several other serious physical limitations. And in this case, the administrative law judge found that due to those physical limitations, Mr. Campbell was limited to sedentary work, and we're not disputing that finding. What we are disputing is the ALJ's interpretation or findings regarding Mr. Campbell's mental limitations. This is a case where the ALJ did not give great weight to Mr. Campbell's treating psychiatrist, Dr. Tracy Powell. And in this case, we have a very lengthy treatment history between Mr. Campbell and Dr. Powell. He began seeing Dr. Powell in October of 2005, or 4, excuse me, and continued to see her regularly on a monthly basis up until his ALJ hearing. During the time that he was treated by Dr. Powell, she noted that he had consistent symptoms of auditory hallucinations, paranoid suspicious thought content, racing thoughts, and appetite and sleep disturbance.
So one of the problems is how much of this really does come from alcoholism. And as you note in your brief, as everybody notes, Dr. Powell herself flags this problem for quite some time, and then we don't get any further discussion of it in her records. And I think there were a couple of things that bothered the administrative law judge as I read the opinion. One of them is that although it's flagged, you never see Dr. Powell trying to nail it down. You never see her writing a note about the degree of his abuse, about whether his reports that he is tapering off are honest reports or not. Alcoholics are notorious liars, and so you have to be careful about just some statement saying, I'm off the juice. And I think the administrative law judge felt that this needed to be looked into more, and I would say actually on top of that, there are statutory limitations as well for giving relief to people, giving benefits to people who are dysfunctional because of alcohol or substance abuse.
That's true, and I'll address that point secondly. Firstly, the point you raise about Dr. Powell's analysis of the alcohol abuse, we see in the record that she does note it from the very first time that she meets with Mr. Campbell, and she asks him at almost every single appointment what his usage of alcohol is. We see that
she ever nailed down, you know, are you using it so much that you can't wake up in the morning? Are you using it so much that, you know, with the functional connection? Because in a lot of our mental illness cases, we all understand it's very hard to know what's going on in somebody else's mind, but you can, as an external observer, get some idea of what the functional impact of those things might be.
We do see in her notes in the beginning of treatment in February and March that she believes that his use of alcohol may be impacting his symptoms. She is still grappling with whether or not they are.
A lot of these symptoms you just noted are things that sometimes accompany alcohol.
Absolutely,
abuse.
But we do see that those symptoms continue. Mr. Campbell doesn't just go from stating that he drinks daily to stating that he's abstinent. We actually see that over time his use is decreasing from what he says daily at the beginning to weekly to monthly to very rarely to nothing at all.
Now, but that's his self-report. Is there any effort either by Dr. Powell or by the either by Dr. Powell or Mr. Campbell at the hearing to corroborate that somehow? People who are around Mr. Campbell, anybody who might have some knowledge?
During the hearing, there is some time spent. Mr. Campbell testifies about his alcohol use. His testimony is limited as to that, but he does state that he believes that he hasn't had a drink in the last 6 to 7 months. Which corroborates with what we have in the treatment history, which shows that as of September of 2005, he reports no longer using alcohol.
The ALJ make a credibility finding about
that? All the ALJ says in this case is that she finds that he was credible up until the point of the residual functional capacity that she finds. She doesn't further analyze his credibility or whether or not she believes his statements. I'd also like to point out that we only know that Mr. Campbell is using alcohol at this point in time because of Dr. Powell. There's nothing else in the record that indicates that he is using alcohol. We do only have his self-reports, but he was admittedly using on a regular basis, and then we see over time that that use decreases. And that goes to the point that the ALJ makes, and she discounts Dr. Powell's opinion for two very specific reasons. One is because she doesn't think that Dr. Powell deals adequately with the alcohol, which we state that she has dealt adequately with it. She's dealt with it over the entire 15-month period, and we see that his bipolar symptoms remain very consistently severe, even when his use of alcohol is declining. And I guess to your materiality point, in this case, the ALJ doesn't technically reach the materiality analysis because the materiality analysis first requires that the ALJ finds that the claimant is disabled, and then you reach that analysis. And in this case, she did not even find that he was disabled, so we don't even get to the materiality. The other point that the ALJ makes for her reason for discounting Mr. Campbell or for Dr. Powell's opinion is she says there's an absence of abnormal findings in the December 2005 record.
The record that you emphasized in your reply brief was actually generated in September by some unnamed person?
That's right. It was generated by a mental health professional at the same agency that Dr. Powell worked at. We see in that record that even though his mental status exam only shows a flat affect, which is what the ALJ focuses on, the remainder of that report shows that he was continuing to report all of these same symptoms he'd had over time: depression, anxiety, sleep disturbances, and his global assessment functioning score, which is a psychiatrist's way of analyzing the full functioning of an individual, was a 50 on that day, which indicates very severe symptoms, according to the DSM-4. His GAF score on that day, or GAF score, is similar to his GAF score throughout the time that he was treated by Dr. Powell. His GAF score was always between 45 and 50 during the entire treatment record, which shows that his functioning was not improving over time. Rather, he was remained severe, and we see this in Dr. Powell's records, where she's constantly monitoring and changing his medication regime to try to deal with his ongoing symptoms. So we suggest that the two reasons, and there are only two reasons that the ALJ gives for not giving great weight to Dr. Powell's opinion, neither of them are true. Neither of them are supported by the record whatsoever.
Well, and you also, as I recall, criticized the ALJ for attaching too much weight to the non-examining experts.
That's right. We also do not believe that the ALJ properly weighed Dr. Powell's opinion according to 20 CFR 1527D, which is the Social Security regulation which dictates how to weigh expert opinions. And that regulation states that an ALJ must consider the length and treating relationship between the doctor and patient, as well as the supportability for the doctor's opinion in the record. And here, the ALJ doesn't do that. I've already talked at length about how Dr. Powell had a very lengthy treatment history, and we have all of those notes, which are quite detailed, so that we can follow her train of thought and follow the evolution of her diagnosis of Mr. Campbell. In addition, though, the ALJ doesn't mention that the medical expert was clearly not familiar with the entirety of the record.
He only got the record that morning or something.
He did only get the record that morning, but he testified that he had the opportunity to review it. But then upon questioning, he was not even familiar that Mr. Campbell had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, and Mr. Campbell had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder since June of 2005. He also seems to be under the impression that Mr. Campbell is still drinking. He's referring to the May 2004 record for that assessment, and again, we know from the length of the record that he has not continued to drink on a regular basis. He's actually abstinent by this point. And lastly, before I get into the rest of my time, the consultative examiner in this case examined Mr. Campbell before he started seeing Dr. Powell, so he was not privy to those records. And the state agency examiners who reviewed the consultative examiner's analysis also did not review Dr. Powell's records. So for those reasons, we'd ask that this case be remanded.
All right, thank you. Ms. Freeberg?
May it please the court, counsel, Cynthia Freeberg, on behalf of the Commissioner of Social Security. As you've heard Mr. Campbell's counsel argue, they believe that the ALJ improperly discounted Dr. Powell's opinion and did not consider the appropriate factors in doing so. Contrary to that argument, the ALJ clearly did consider the length and frequency of Dr. Powell's examinations and treatment history, noting Powell first saw Mr. Campbell in October of 2004 and sees him monthly.
Page A8, I guess page 6 of 8 of the ALJ's opinion, I found the ALJ's opinion very incomplete, I'll say, in terms of a full appreciation of what Dr. Powell was doing. The ALJ hasn't explained why. Let's see, we've got the October 19, 2004 report mentioned, February 22, 2005, October 4, 2005, July 2005, and then this statement that seems to be a misstatement about the December 22, 2005 record. Mental status examination was within normal limits with the exception of a flat affect. Well, a GAF of 50 isn't really normal limits. I don't know. It seems very incomplete in grappling with the evidence that might suggest mental disability.
Well, the ALJ summarized Dr. Powell's treatment. Nothing requires the ALJ to recite every treatment note.
Of course not. But the ALJ is required, though, to explain why material in the record that would suggest the opposite conclusion is not being is not carrying the day. And so even a small statement, the only thing we have is the ALJ saying, I don't think that Dr. Powell investigated adequately the possible effect of alcohol on his functioning. So there's that statement, which is just a quick aside, but what Dr. Powell is doing is she's giving these GAF evaluations. She's explaining that she sees a tapering off of the alcohol use. The ALJ never says, I'm not persuaded that Mr. Campbell was telling the truth. We don't have any decent discussion of quite a bit of evidence in this record that suggests pretty serious disability.
Well, the ALJ, as I said, did discuss Dr. Powell and her treatment in a summary
fashion.
But
not the things where Dr. Powell highlights how bad off he is. I mean, this statement that the only thing she said is he has a flat affect in December 22, 2005 just isn't right. She says a lot more than that, or she signs off on a record that says a lot more than that.
Yes, it is. It is, I believe, a 5-page report, and the ALJ focused on the mental status examination findings, which are the more kind of objective findings.
Not bipolar disorder, not all these hallucinations, not all the rest of that.
Well, the ALJ.
Do you think he really can work if he's sitting there hallucinating?
Well, the medical expert testified that, yes, Mr. Campbell could work. He could perform simple, routine, repetitive tasks.
But the medical expert didn't read all of Dr. Powell's treatment notes.
Well, he did at the hearing. The medical expert did review. He testified he reviewed the file. There was one exhibit. He did not note that Dr. Powell had diagnosed bipolar disorder. According to the exhibit list, counsel for Mr. Campbell presented one exhibit at the hearing, and the medical expert explained he did not have an opportunity to review that.
Right.
And then there was some discussion about the numbering of exhibits that were in the file. The medical expert took the time to review the exhibit that was submitted that day, and yet did affirm his testimony that Mr. Campbell could perform simple, routine, repetitive tasks.
He says that. I mean, I understand that's his bottom line. I don't see how he explains that bottom line in the light of Dr. Powell's detailed treatment records.
This goes back to the role that alcohol may have played, because the medical expert thought that role was quite significant and that it did.
Does he know that there's at least a record that it's finished by now? And yet Mr. Campbell is still having the symptoms? It could, because if the medical expert thinks that he's currently abusing alcohol, we need to either nail that down, you're lying, you are currently using alcohol, or say maybe the medical expert skimmed over the record too quickly and didn't pick up this nuance that although the alcohol abuse has tapered off, the symptoms are still there.
Well, the medical expert did note that there was no continued period of sobriety.
Not 7 months? That doesn't count as continued?
Well, I'm not sure what the medical expert would count as continued, but there's no indication that he was unaware of the other medical records.
Well, isn't there an October 2005 note of Powell that she recommends continued abstinence?
Yes.
Which would imply that he was abstinent then.
Yeah.
That she observed that.
So. Yes. But
what's the clue that the medical expert, you know, he misses the bipolar. Okay, you can miss something. But what's the clue that the medical expert didn't miss that wording, too? What does the medical expert say to give us some confidence that he actually knows what Mr. Campbell's condition is? Current events, you know, not what it was in 2004, not, you know, what it was, you know, in some other later time.
Well, the medical expert did not recite the treatment notes, but he did affirm that he reviewed the record, which contained the notes.
And he makes one mistake about the record to shake our confidence. And then the question is, if he thinks alcohol abuse is still going on, what is it that makes him think that? That he disagrees with Dr. Powell's assessment? That he has some independent basis that we don't know about? What is it that makes him think that?
Well, he testified that he thought that some treatment notes did reflect a daily use of alcohol, and he thought that there was a possibility of the materiality of alcohol and alcohol, the use of alcohol's contribution to his limitations.
And if it had been a continuing condition, that would be quite reasonable testimony. But does he indicate at all in that statement, but I realize that the treatment notes seem to indicate that he's been abstinent for X number of months. Does he ever?
No, I don't believe he does look at each or testify
really
as to each treatment note.
He doesn't know, but this is the reason this is important is it's a pattern. Because if he's still getting symptoms, even though he's not drinking, then it would suggest that other things are wrong with him, that it's not just a result of drinking.
Well, that's true. There's no, even if Mr. Campbell continues to have symptoms, that does not necessarily mean that these symptoms are disabling.
Right, but that's when we get to the content of what the December 22, 2005 report actually said, and whether the ALJ just flipped to the last page and looked at it and said, oh, flat affect, you know, people can still work who have a flat affect, or whether the ALJ really grappled with all of the details.
Well, I do believe that the ALJ did, and even though she did not recite each and every treatment note or each page of that report, she explained why she was discounting Dr. Powell's extreme opinion that Mr. Campbell had such extreme limitations that he did not have any mental ability to work. I think she did explain that.
It's pretty short. I mean, I'm looking at it. It's just this one little paragraph on page 6. That's it, right? There's really nothing else.
Correct. Well, there's the two paragraphs where the ALJ explains that she discounts Dr. Powell's opinion because mental status examination findings, as reviewed and affirmed by Dr. Powell by her signature in that December report, were essentially normal with the exception of a flat affect. And then the ALJ does go on to explain that given the given the absence of those findings and Dr. Powell's failure to analyze the effect of Mr. Campbell's drinking, and also the inconsistency with the remainder of the record evidence, the state agency reviewing
psychologist who never saw him. So yes. Okay. So basically, we can look at page 6 and see what we think of it. So you can wrap up in a sentence if you want to.
Defendant commissioner would ask the court to affirm the district court affirming the ALJ's decision. Mr. Campbell is not disabled.
Okay, thank you very much. Anything further, Ms. Sheldon? I think you just have about a minute left.
Just a couple quick points in the record. I wanted to clarify that Dr. Marquis did testify on page 606 of the record that he's referring to record 17 to pointing out that he believed that Mr. Campbell was drinking on a daily basis. He doesn't point to any other record to show how he gained that knowledge. And secondly, I just would like to draw the court's attention to the December 21st, 2005 record, which is truly the last treatment record that we have because the December 22nd record was made in September. And in that December 21st record, we see that Mr. Campbell had a mental status exam, again, with circumstantial thought process, sad affect, paranoid behavior, and another GAF score between 45 and 50. It's for these reasons that we ask that the case be remanded. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Thanks to both counsel. We'll take the case under advisement.